Brahma Sutras, Chapter 3, Pada 4. Purushartadikaranam. Purushartaha ataha shabdhadidi badarayanaha seshatvat purushartavadaha yata anyeshu iti jaiminihi achara darshanat tashrutehe samanvaram bhanat tadvato vidhanat niyamacha adhika upadeshatu badarayanasya evam tadarshanat tulyam tu darshanam asarvatriki vibhagaha shatavat adhyayanamatravataha na avisheshat stutaye anumatirva kamakarena cha eke upamardancha urdvaretaha suchashabdehi paramarshadikaranam paramarsham jai minihi achodanacha apavadatihi anushteyam badarayanaha samya shrutehe vidhirvadaranavate stuti matradikaranam stuti matram upadanaditi chete na apurvatvate bhavashabdacha pariplavadikaranam pariplavartha iti chete na visheshitatvate tatacha eka vakyata upabandhate agnindanadyatikaranam ata evacha agnindanadi anapeksham sarvapekshadikaranam sarvapekshacha yajnati shrutehe ashvavate shamadamadyupetaha syate tatapitu tadvidehe tadangataya tesham avasya anushteyatvate sarvan anumatyadikaranam sarvananumatischa pranatyaye tadarshanat abadaccha apicha smaryate shabdascha ataha akamakare ashramakarmadikaranam vihitatvaccha ashramakarmani sahakaritvena cha sarvatapita evatu ubayalingate anabibhavam cha darshayati antara chapitu tadrishtehe vidhuradikaranam apicha smaryate visesha anugrahascha atasvitarajyayolingaccha tadbhudadikaranam tadbhutasya tu nam atadbhavo jaiminihi api niyama atatadrupa abhavebhyaha adhikarikadikaranam nacha adhikarikam api patana anumanad tat ayogat. We saw this 41st sutra of 4th pada 3rd chapter 466th running Brahma Sutra. Now I will give the general introduction to this adhikaranam with two sutras, and in this adhikaranam Vyasacharya deals with a discipline called Brahmacharya. The word Brahmacharyam has several meanings depending upon the context. Here it means celibacy. So the significance can be grasped only when you look at it from Vedantic or spiritual angle in this case. So a Vedantic student, he has got the primary goal of moksha, liberation. As a means of moksha, he pursues jnana nishtha, and jnana nishtha is only a means of liberation. Jnana nishtha also has got two important components. These are all things which you already know. And the first component is abiding in the knowledge that I am the Atma. Aham deha vyatirikta brahma asmi. That knowledge. This can be called Atma avasthana praptihi. Abiding in Atma Swarupa. And the second component is disidentification from the Anatma or Deha the body. Deha Abhimana Nivrittihi. So withdrawal from the bodily identification. and both are complementary to each other. One will not be established without the other. Dehabhimana is an obstruction to realize the self. Dehabhimana means identification with one's body. So both components are important. Only when both are there, a person can get the benefit of Jivan Mukti. Dehabhimana Nivrittihi is a tougher part among the two. Withdrawal from Dehabhimana, identification with the body, is a tough discipline. Why? Because it is natural and it is habitual. It's a habit formed in countless janmas, not in this janma alone, in countless janmas. The very fact that we have this janma means we have taken countless janmas prior. And it is universal. Therefore, transcending Dehabhimana is a tougher proposal. And to accomplish this transcendence of Dehabhimana, the Shastra prescribes several subsidiary disciplines. Cumulatively, all subsidiary disciplines will help the prime discipline of Dehabhimana Nivritti. Even Ahara Nivritti is part of that, because tongue forms part of body. Brahmacharyam is a secondary discipline, and this is a component of Jnana Nishtha and gaining moksha. So this Anga discipline transcends the gender identity even. I am male, I am female. They are all transcended as a part of Deha Abhimana Nivritti, the dissociation of bodily identification. So the gender identity belongs to what? To the body alone, not to Atma. And that also, what body? The Sthula Deha, the Sthula Shariram. And this is called Lingam. And this gender identity is called Linga Abhimana, invocation of gender identity, and transcendence of that is called Brahmacharya. This is called Brahmacharya. This is the topic of this Adhikara. So I should extend minimum invocation of gender identity. Brahmacharya is a basis of the three ashramas that we already know: Brahmacharya Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, and Sannyasa Ashrama. And Brahmacharyam, then one is requirement for a person to enter into Grahastha Ashrama also. So when I say Brahmacharya Ashrama, it includes two types of Brahmacharyam. We have seen this also earlier, namely Upakurvana Brahmacharyam and Naishtika Brahmacharyam. Whoever enters into any one of the four ashramas, they must clearly know that Brahmacharyam is compulsory discipline enjoined on every one of them. And therefore, they have to take it as compulsory commitment or a vratam, a vow. As even I am entering any one of these four, in the any one of these four, don't include here Grahastha Ashrama. What are the four I'm going to tell? So I write to, for example, I make a commitment. I write an application to God, or I make a commitment to Him, that I take Brahmacharyam as a vow, as a vratam. Brahmacharya Ashrama itself, I am taking it as a vratam. Any discipline taken as a vow is called vratam in Shastra. Thus, Brahmacharyam is a vratam for all the non-grahastha ashramis, for all the who are not grahasthas. Brahmacharyam is a vratam. So once a person has taken this vrata or a vow, one has to implicitly follow that particular vratam, and violation of such a vow certainly will invoke papam. And it is called pratyavaya papam, omission of a vow. It is called pratyavaya papam. It is otherwise called also a patakam. A papam is called a patakam because it brings the jiva down spiritually from patanam. It brings a person to fall. All the patakams mentioned in the Shastras are broadly classified also into two. That the classification is based on whether there is any parihara, antidote for a patakam or not. If a parihara as prayaschitta or expiatory action, if that exists in Shastras, then that patakam is called pariharya patakam, a remediable sin, we can call it. And an unremediable sin is called a pariharya patakam or maha patakam. So now we got two kinds of patakams. And Shankaracharya uses an expression, it is called aprati samadheyam in his bhashyam. I will read that portion because this particular section is important for us. It's a little elaborate. Yadi naitiko brahmachari pramadat avakiryeta kim tasya brahmacharya vakirni nairutam gardabam alabete ityetat prayaschittam syate uta na iti. If there is a prayaschittam prescribed like that, it is not there. Uta na iti. Netyuchate yadapi adhikara lakshane nirnitam prayaschittam avakirni pasuscha tadvadadat asya aprata kalatvat. Actually, this section is the Jaimini Sutram. There is a in the 6th chapter, 8th section, 21st sutra of Jaimini states all this. Iti tadapi na naishtikasya bhavitum arhati. Kim karanam, what is the reason? I won't say all this. Arudo naishtikam dharmam yastum prachyavate punaham prayaschittam na pasyami yena sudhyetsa atmaha. This is the sentence from Atri Maharishi. Arudo, Acharya quotes this particular section in his bhashya. Arudo naishtikam dharmam yastu prachyavate punaham prayaschittam na pasyami. I don't see any prayaschittam at all. Atri says, Atri Maharishi, yena shudhyetsa atmaha iti aprati samadeya. This is what Acharya says. Aprati samadeya patanasmaranatim chinna shirasa iva pratikriyanu papattehe. And upakurvanasya tu tadrik patanasya marana abhavatim upapadyate patanas marana abhavatim upapadyate tat prayaschittam. Pariharya patakam is called upapadakam. Other one is called mahapatakam. There is no pariharam for that. Now, what is the question? Whether the brahmacharya bhanga, that is what we are talking about. If a person violates the brahmacharya dharma in brahmacharya ashrama, brahmacharya bhanga, is it considered upapatakam or mahapatakam? This is the topic of this adhikara. I hope you understand the context now. Now the Siddhanti's view, Vedanti, in what he says, brahmacharya bhanga is only upapatakam and does not come under mahapatakam. Mahapatakam means, as I told you, there is no prayaschittam for that. This is the general introduction to this topic. This sutra is Purvapaksha Sutra. And Purvapakshi here argues that Brahmacharya Vrata Bhanga is a Mahapatakam, whereas Vyasacharya will refute this. Actually, I mentioned this particular text, this particular section to Acharya when I was there in Sringeri, that this is what I'm going to discuss this thing. So he was very interested in listening to that. Anyway, therefore, the four ashramis do not have any remedy for the Vrata Bhanga. All the four of them, they don't have any remedy at all, according to Purvapakshi. Because Atri Vakyam says, prayaschittam na pasyami. And there is Smriti Pramanam for this in Atri Smriti that I just now read. So it is indicated in this sutra as Anumanam. Pratyaksham means Veda Pramanam, and Anumanam here means not Pratyaksham, not Veda Pramanam. There is maybe Smriti Pramanam. So we come to know that there is no prayaschittam from this, we understand. Suppose a person has entered Naishtika Brahmacharya Ashrama. Because Upagurvana Brahmacharya Ashrama, he has to definitely leave and then become a grahastha. But if somebody says, I will be in the Gurukulam only for the rest of my life and be a brahmachari. So he's a Naishtika Brahmachari that we mentioned earlier. So he made a commitment that I am going to follow this Brahmacharya Ashrama throughout my life. And if he transgresses his commitment, there is no prayaschittam for such a person and there is no parihara for that person by which he can purify himself. He is destroying his spiritual personality, so to say. So it is a spiritual suicide almost. And taking this verse as a upalakshanam, he extends this rule to the other two ashramas, namely Vanaprastha Ashrama and Sannyasa Ashrama and Upakurvana Brahmachari also. For all the three, that's why I said four. Four is not four ashramas, Upakurvana Brahmachari, then Naishtika Brahmachari, Vanaprastha Ashrami, Sannyasa Ashrami, Grahastha Ashrami, of course, he got married and he is getting children and all that. So this is the conclusion of Purvapakshi. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Adhikarikam. Adhikarikam refers to here prayaschittam, remediable measure. Cha api na. is also not available. For whom? For Naishthika Brahmachari, we should state that. Tad ayogad. This is so because prayaschitta is not possible for a Naishthika Brahmachari. Patana anumanat. This is all the sutra. As it is known from this smriti, which talks about his spiritual fall. Patana means fall. That is for a Naishthika Brahmachari. Now let us see the significance of the words. Adhikarikam refers to, according to the Vedic scheme, every Vaidika should belong to a particular Varna or Ashrama. This Varna Ashrama Dharma and all we have mentioned in several occasions earlier. So every Vaidika should belong to a particular Varna or Ashrama. And this designation is important because one's lifestyle is based on this designation. This designation also has got two parts. One is rights. What are the rights of that ashrami? And what are the duties of the ashrami? Our shastras are very clear. It tells both the rights and the duties. Many people know the rights these days. They don't know their duties and responsibilities. Or they ignore them. The right thing is what? The Vedic sadhanas prescribed for a particular designation or an ashrami is available for me. I should follow them. It is like, for example, Sandhyavandana Karma. A designation makes certain, it makes certain set of sadhanas available to me, and from this I can get artha, kama and dharma. All of them I can get. Moksha, of course, requires a different discipline. And the rituals and the disciplines are the rites. All the rituals and disciplines. And to maintain this designation, I have to follow certain duties. Only as long as perform the duty, I can have that designation. That is important. I can claim myself to be Brahmachari or Vanaprasthi, whatever it is, but I have to not only follow that ashrama dharma, I should have all the duties. I have the rights. I have to also do the duties. So the compulsory duty is called Vihita Karmas, Nitya Naimittika Karmani. They are all compulsory duties. Nitya Karmas, Naimittika Karmas and all that. This is to retain the designation. Only when I retain the designation, I have adhikara or access to those sadhanas. If I retain my grahasthashrami title, then only I can do certain sadhanas. Otherwise, I cannot. The moment I violate those duties, I lose my designation. These are all shastras, very hard injunctions. I am a fake brahmachari then, or a fake sannyasi also. Leads to adhikara nashaha. A person loses the adhikaram. After adhikara nasha, whatever sadhana that is practiced in Veda, I may follow, it would all be futile only. It is like, for example, pedaling a stationary bicycle. It's not going to move anywhere. I won't progress in life. Therefore, my first aim is to retain the designation. Whatever designation I belong to, I should retain the designation by following the dharmic injunctions, the Vihita Karmas. And this can be done by Nitya Karma Anushtana. All other things become functional only if I retain this adhikara. Shastras are very, very clear and very specific about these things. And if I lose the adhikara, how to get back the adhikara is the question here. I do the prayaschitta to get back the adhikara. So whatever prayaschitta I do, that is called adhikarikam karma. In this sutra, we have got the word adhikarikam. And that adhikarikam word I am trying to explain. Whatever prayaschitta I do, that is called adhikarikam karma. And this karma will depend upon the type of violation also. Since violations are innumerable, the prayaschitta is also innumerable. And this is discussed actually in detail in the 6th chapter of Purva Mimamsa. We are not going to discuss Purva Mimamsa here. I'm just only telling you that it occurs there. Lot of discussions are given there. So Adhikara Lakshana Grantha is the name of that chapter. That particular chapter itself, Adhikara Lakshana Grantha of the chapter, that gives various prayaschitta karmas. That is in Purva Mimamsa Sastra. Therefore, Vyasacharya says, Na Adhikarikam for a Naishthika Brahmachari we have to supply. Also, for the other three also. That the other three means this is, you know, Vanaprasthi, Sannyasi and also Upakurvana Brahmachari also. Na cha api. To connect this with this previous adhikaranam, patana anumanat, the spiritual fall. Patana means fall, anumanat refers to the spiritual fall, getting distanced from moksha. A person, when he falls spiritually, he distances himself from moksha, he or she. Anumanam. Anumanam here means it is a smriti vakyam. Pramanam refers to Veda vakyam. Anumanam here refers to smriti vakyam. Tad ayogat. Ayogat here means prayasitam. Tad ayogat means is impossible. It's not available. Therefore, it is a mahapatakam. Who says this? Purva Mimamsaka says. All such people will have spiritual fall according to him. And as we mentioned also, this is a Purva Paksha Sutra. And Vyasacharya, he is establishing here that it comes under Upapatakam only and not Mahapatakam. And the Siddhanta comes in the next sutra, 42nd sutra. So Purva Pakshi has claimed it as Mahapatakam, quoting a Smriti Vakyam. Who is, what is the Smriti Vakyam he quoted? I read that from Atri Maharishi. So Atri Maharishi, where he wrote clearly, Prayasittam Napashyami. So he quoted that and called it Mahapatakam. Now Acharya, Vyasacharya is going to refute this. In the next sutra, we will read. Adhikarika Adhikaranam, again, second sloka. There are two sutras, 41 we just finished, 42nd we are reading. Upa Purvam Apitu Yeke Bhavam Ashanavate Tad Uktam. Upa Purvam Apitu Yeke Bhavam Ashanavate Tad Uktam, 42nd Brahma Sutra. 42nd Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 467th Brahma Sutra. So the previous discussion they, we had, the 41st Sutra, that is concluded here, it is continued here. Here, the Siddhanta comes. This Sutra can be divided also into four parts. And the first part, Vyasacharya says that it is Upapadakam only and not Mahapadakam. That is first assertion of Vyasacharya. And the second part of the sutra says, it is since it is Upapatakam only, it has got prayaschittam. Because we told Mahapatakam only has no prayaschittam. Upapatakam has prayaschittam. Since it is Upapatakam, it has prayaschittam. And the third part gives an example of transgression without eating, with respect to eating discipline. A person, how a person can violate once this thing transgress a particular ashrama dharma by violating the eating discipline, ahara niyama. Eating meat, etc. So considered as a papa karma. And when a person transgresses it, it is called eating transgression. And it is small sin and it has a parihara. So he is now comparing this particular thing, violation in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, to only an eating transgression and it has got a parihara. And Vyasacharya says, Brahmacharya Ashrama also is subject to prayaschittam. There is prayaschittam available if a person violates that. And the fourth part of this sutra is support from Purva Mimamsa Shastram itself. Because Purva Mimamsa says that it is a Mahapatakam, but Acharya invokes, Vyasacharya invokes from Purva Mimamsa Shastram itself that there is prayaschittam available. And Shankaracharya, he gives a commentary on each part of this. And we will see it in some detail. And the first part, he says, it is Upapatakam only. As I mentioned, Vyasacharya says, his assertion is, this is only Upapatakam and not Mahapatakam. And the Shastra does not categorize it in Mahapatakam list, according to him. It is a very small Pancha Mahapatakani. There are, you know, Pancha Mahapatakani list we have got, but this is not in that list. This Panchamahapatakam is enumerated in Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 10th section, 9th mantra. What are the Panchamahapatakas? Steno Hiranyasya, Suram Pibagamsya, Gurostalpam Avasanne, Brahmacham, Yete Patanti Chatvaraham, Panchamascham, Acharagum Sairithi. That is this sutra. So here, Steno Hiranyasya, a person who steals gold. Suram Pipagamscha, the person who drinks Surapana. Gurostalpam Avasan, a person who dishonors the teacher's guru's bed. And Brahmaha, a person who kills a Brahmana. All these four, they fall. As also the fifth one, who is the fifth one? Pancha Mahapatakam. These four are the Mahapatakams. The fifth one is the one who is the consort with any one of these papis, then that person becomes the Mahapapi, fifth papi. So Shankaracharya says, in that list, this one is not given in this list that is described here in the Chandogya Vakyam, the five Mahapadakas. This particular term, the Brahmacharya Vrata Bhanga, is not listed here. Since it does not come under Panchamahapataka list, indirectly we know it comes under Upapataka only. The second in list is that, then is there a parihara for this patakam? That is the next question. Shastra gives varieties of parihara for Brahmacharya patakam. Papams are also graded in the Shastras. For all papas, pariharas are mentioned. And Shastra does talk about Brahmacharya Vrata Bhanga also, that parihara for that. And for each ashrama, the parihara is separately mentioned. Varieties are there depending upon the ability of the person also. For example, kayika parikaras, that parihara that can be done by when a person, you know, like upavasa, pranayama, taking pilgrimage, all those things can be done when the body is in good shape and all that. And vachika pariharas are given like Gayatri japa, Omkara japa, all those things can be done. A person can do vachika prayaschittas. And manasa parihara is also given in the form of Ishvara, Dhyana, meditation, all those things. So all those pariharas are mentioned. And ashrama-wise pariharas are also given. And so Vyasacharya says, it is pariharya. And the third part is what? Just as Shastra has parihara for violating Aharaniyama, so it also has parihara for this Brahmacharya Vrata Bhanga also. So if you are Vaidikas, Vaidikas, I have told you, not priests. Vaidikas are those people who follow Vaidika Dharma, Veda Dharma. Then we have to follow Vaidika Niyamas with respect to food also. Certain things are not allowed physically and some things are not allowed under some conditions. For example, Mamsa Bhakshanam, eating meat, it's not allowed. Brahmachari, Vanaprasthi, Sannyasi, if a person violates, then there is no prayaschitta for them. The violation may be intentional and also may be unintentional. In tradition, they say, do not eat outside if you can to avoid the transgression of the Niyama. Normally people say, do not say any other, take any other food outside because you don't know. There may be things, components of certain things which should not be taken in that food. You may not know. And also papam is also twofold. Inadvertently done papams and deliberately done papams also. And another variety is to do it and do prayaschittam simultaneously. There are some people, they do it. They do it intentionally or without knowing, they do it. But if they do without knowing, they also do a prayaschittam in case if it has been committed. That kind of thing. Our Sandhyavandana Karma, we always say, asad parigraham. This is one of the things for which if I took something from somebody, which is asad, which is not supposed to be taken without my knowledge, then even for that, there is a prayaschittam mentioned in our Sandhyavandana Karma. And here also there is gradation in the intensity of the papa. The Pancha Maha Yajna is important because they regularly cleanse me of the known and unknown papas every moment we gather impurity. For example, without our knowledge, this I have mentioned also many times earlier, without our knowledge, every day we commit five different types of sins. Pancha Maha Yajnas, without our knowledge we do, and these Pancha Maha Yajnas are the antidote for my committing any doshas without my knowledge. So in Ashanam also there is papam, in food, eating. And for the Shastra prescribes prayaschittam. And the Purva Mimamsaka support is also given here. Vyasacharya himself alludes to Purva Mimamsaka. Shankaracharya gives the Bhashyam also. So the categorization of papam punyam can be done by Shastra only. It cannot be done by human beings. Shastra has to do it. We are not judges to weigh or measure the categorization, which is punyam, which is papam. We cannot do that. Punyam and papam come under apaurusheya vishaya. It's apaurusheya category, apaurusheya vishaya. So with respect to health damage, we can study and categorize between liquor and smoking. We can do those kinds of things or meat eating. We can study medically and we can talk about the gradation of damage. All those scientific advances we have. This is drishtapala gradation. The gradation in the drishtapala, in the visible effects. Here we don't talk about the religious or spiritual damage at all in such sciences. Punya papa are not available for biomedical research. Therefore, follow what Shastra says in this regard. This is the essence of this sutra. I just want to give this introduction to to set the context. Now let me give you the word analysis of the sutra. What is the sutra? Upapurvam apitu eke bhavam ashanavate tat uktam. Tu, upapurvam apitu. Tu means but. Eke means some other acharyas consider this, some acharyas consider this as transgression, that we have to supply, violation. Upapurvam api, as upapatakam only. They think that this is only upapatakam, remediable sin. What is the one? The brahmacharya vratabhanga. We are talking about that. Violation of the brahmacharya ashrama dharma. Bhavam. Bhavam means and claims the existence of parihara or prayaschitta. Remedy is available. Ashanavate. As in the case of transgression, in eating ahara niyama bhangaha. When a person eats something which is not supposed to be eaten, then it is called ahara niyama bhangaha. Violation of that. Tadvuktam. This has been clarified in Purvamimamsa Sutra itself. That's what Acharya calls. Tadvuktam, where it is said? It is said in Purvamimamsa, in Jaimini Sutras, first chapter, third section, eighth sutra, and ninth sutra it is given. The sutra is what? Samam viparidipatihi syat. That is one sutra. And the ninth sutra is Shastrastava tan nimittatvat. So these are the two Jaimini Sutras, first chapter, third section, eighth sutra, ninth sutra. So the remedy is already given in the Purvamimamsa Sutra itself. Now let us see the significance of the words. Upapurvam. Upapurvam refers to upapatakam. Upapatakam, not mahapatakam, upapatakam. A peculiar bahubrihi, it is actually upapurvam, yasyam, pesya patakasya, tat upapurvakam or upapurvam. It means what? That patakam, for which there is the prefix upa, that is upapadam. So it is a padakam, for which there is a prefix upa, that is how it is described. So it is upapadam. Api means here, eva, only, it is only. It is only a upapadakam only. So that means that excludes that from mahapadakam list. It is also not listed in the Chandogya Mantra that I read. So purva paksha vyavrityartham, so and ak refers to what? Those Acharya Siddhantis, those rishis who hold this vada, that is AK Acharya. AK is, it is Akaranda Punta. I don't want to go off that. Anyway, so it's a rare plural. The AK is a rare plural for number one. AK Akaranda Pullintaka Prathama Bahubachanatis. So anyway, so just as in English we use one and also AK, therefore they claim ones. We use also those people, those ones. Bhavam means existence. So they claim existence of pariharam for upapapam. This is the crucial because when prayaschitta exists, papa becomes upapapam. Any papam becomes a upapapam, upapatakam when there is prayaschitta. When there is no prayaschitta, it becomes mahapatakam. What is this simile here? Ashanavate. Ashanavate means like eating violation. Eating violation. Ashana vrata bhangavate. That is eating disorder, eating dosha. That is, here it is mamsa bhakshanam, mamshasanam, or eating the meat. That is what is mentioned here. This is an example for upapatakam. It's not mahapatakam, it is upapatakam. Ash means to eat. So ashnati, again ninth translation. So ashana means ahara. Here ashanam refers to ahara, food. Tadvuktam. So tasmin vishaye vuktam. This has been clarified in Jaimini Sutra itself. So this is the word analysis. Now let us discuss the point from the Bhashyam point of view, because there is some detail given in the Bhashyam of Shankaracharya. So let us understand it from that angle also a little bit. Because I'm spending some extra time on this because it's a very important topic, because Brahmacharya Vrata Bhangam and the antidote for them, all those things, they are, you know, these are all things which are important to know. So here the Purvapakshi says, you talk only parihara given in the Shastra, and he tells Siddhanta, you talk about the parihara given in the Shastras, and therefore you say, there being parihara, and that parihara, therefore it comes under upapadakam only, because there is parihara available, so it comes under upapadakam only, that is your claim. But you are not dealing with the mantra or shloka that I myself quoted. the Purvamimamsaka, he quoted a mantra from Atri Maharishi. He quoted Atri Smriti, written by Atri Maharishi. Atri Maharishi is not an ordinary Maharishi. And he has written this sutra. And he has said, Prayaschittam na pashyami arudho naitikam dharmam yastum pratyavate punaha prayaschittam na pashyami. So he has written very clearly, I don't see any prayaschittam at all. And Acharya's duty is what? Reconciliation of the entire Shastra. He won't take piecemeal here and there. He will reconcile the entire Shastra. And his job is what? Achinotihi, because he is an Acharya. Achinotihi, Shastrani, Achare, Stapagitapi, Swayam Acharate, Yasmata, Tasmat Acharya Uchate. That is Acharya Lakshana. So he knows Shastras very well. And he can do samanvaya of everything. So he has the responsible post to tie and harmonize all the Veda mantras, Shastras, Puranas, Itihasas, Alad. He has to do samanvaya of all these concepts. Therefore, how can you ignore the Atri Smriti then? Because Atri Smriti is Atri Maharishi has written. For that, what is our answer? Siddhantin's answer. Atri Vakyam, Prayaschittam na Pashyami, is only a Smriti Vakyam. That is Prayaschitta Abhava Vakyam. Because there is no Prayaschitta. That Vakyam of Atri Maharishi is only a Smriti Vakyam. Whereas Prayaschitta Bhava Vakyam is Shruti Vakyam. And Shruti Smrityoho Parambhadem Shruti Reva Gariyasi. We know the general rule also. When there is contradiction between Smriti and Shruti, we have to go by Shruti Vakyam only. Veda Vakyam only. And then the Purvapakshi says, but better than rejecting or negating the Atri Smriti Vakyam, you know, he doesn't want to leave. Instead of just only negating Atri Smriti Vakyam, why can't we do some kind of reconciliation and we cannot reject Smriti's statement also. Atri's statement also we cannot afford to reject. So because a Vaidika follows Shruti, Smriti, all of them. Therefore, rejection is like a capital punishment which is given only in the rarest of rare cases. Even in the law, capital punishment is the rarest of rare cases. So he suggests, what does Satyavakyam say? Arudho naishtikam dharma. That's what I read that mantra earlier. Arudho naishtikam dharma. So it talks about naishtika brahmachari not having a prayaschitta. So that is what he's talking about. A naishtika brahmachari, he doesn't have prayaschitta. And he suggests, let us take a vaya media. That's the reconciliation. What is that vaya media he wants to propose? Prayaschitta is there in the case of all others. Like, what are the others? Upakurvana brahmachari, vanaprasthi, sannyasi. For all of them, there is prayaschittam in keeping the Shruti. When Shruti talks about brahmachari, we will interpret it differently. Brahmachari has prayaschittam only if he is a upakurvana brahmachari. I already made the distinction between upakurvana brahmachari and naishtika brahmachari. Upakurvana brahmachari is one who is the brahmachari ashrama for a certain length of time. And after his reading is over, he goes to grahastha ashrama. Whereas naishtika brahmachari, he wants to be permanently there in the gurukulam and being a brahmachari. So this is not for the prayaschittam, is not for naishtika brahmachari, but upakurvana brahmachari prayaschittam is available. So this is the reconciliation he makes. And this is being done to validate Atri Vakyam also. Atri Maharishi's Vakyam also you cannot reject. Therefore, the Purvapakshi suggests you restrict the meaning to brahmachari in prayaschitta shastra. In the prayaschittam, so you restrict the meaning of brahmachari. For upakurvana brahmachari, prayaschittam is available, not for naishtika brahmachari. This is called actually sankochatva. We have mentioned these names earlier. So when Shruti says brahmachari has prayaschittam, you say upakurvana brahmachari has prayaschittam and not naishtika brahmachari. Do not generalize the word brahmachari. So you put a visation. Brahmachari, upakurvana brahmachari va, or naishtika brahmachari. So this is suggestion by Purvapakshi. Further, Siddhanti says, no, we cannot accept that also because first reason is what? This is a Smriti Vakyam. Even though Atri Maharishi might have told, it is a Smriti Vakyam. Atri says, prayaschittam na pashyami. True. But it is still only a Smriti Vakyam. Therefore, Napashyami Adarshanam is only an expression being interpreted as abhavaha. You know how he interprets it. Adarshanam na pasyami means I don't see it. I don't see prayaschit. That's what he says. Adarshanam is only an expression being interpreted here as abhava. It is not there. I don't see it, but doesn't mean it is not there. Abhava. He does not openly say prayaschitam nasti. Prayaschitam na pasyami. That's all he says. It is only an expression we interpret as abhava. This is the first weakness. And this artha is extracted by what? By implication. And it is not vachyartha. And also we know lakshyartha is weaker always. And the second between vachyartha, if there is direct meaning is available, we give preference to that one. And the second weakness is, it is a smriti vakya, not a shruti vakya. Smriti is already weak, meaning what? It's a derived meaning. There is lakshyartha is derived. It's weakness number two. And because of those two powerful weaknesses, it is already approaching the Veda as a weak concept. Which one? Prayaschita bhava. The prayaschita bhava is approached here as a weak concept only. So the word brahmachari occurring in Veda is shruti vakyam. It is not implied. It is direct. Therefore, mukhya padam, it is mukhya patancha. So the word brahmachari. So the argument is what? The strong, direct word brahmachari used in the Vedas can never be restrained or restricted by the weak smriti lakshita artha. You cannot dilute that meaning by using some special meanings to that word brahmachari. Therefore, our conclusion is there is parihara for both upakurvana brahmachari and naishtika brahmachari. Therefore, brahmacharya vrata bhanga is a upapataka for all the four. All the four means we should be careful not to bring grihasthashrama here. What are the four? Upakurvana brahmachari, naishtika brahmachari, vanaprasthi and sannyasi. Then Purvapakshi says, if you are so rigid and do not accept any kind of reconciliation, then are you giving capital punishment to Atrivakyam? So he now goes to compassionate ground. He goes to the president for forgiving. So he is not an ordinary rishi. He is what? He is Atri Maharishi. In Sandhyavandana Karma, we remember the Satta Rishis. Atri, Bhrigu, Kutsa, Vasishta, Gautama, Kashyapa, Angirasa. So Atri Rishi is number one. Even in big assembly of Panditas, when they are going to honor, give Sambhavanas and all, at the end of the program, first they will ask, is there anybody from Atreya Gotra in this assembly? If there is somebody from Atreya Gotra, then they will honor that person because he comes from the lineage of Atri Maharishi. So then here Siddhanti says, I also accept Atri Maharishi, but I want to give another meaning to this Smriti Vakyam. Prayaschitam na pasyami, I want to give another meaning. He says, first I will say, it is upapatakam only. Let us not have any variation in that discussion. It is upapatakam and not mahapatakam. But in keeping with Atri Smriti, among upapatakams also, it is a very serious upapatakam. So it is upapatakam, all right. But among the upapatakams, there is gradation, I already told. So in the gradation, this is considered a serious upapatakam. It is not mahapatakam category yet, but it's a serious upapatakam. Gradation-wise, it is higher. Therefore, prayaschitam is not that easy. It is not, don't say it is not available. Prayaschitam na pasyami. I don't see. That means it's not available. It is there, but it is not directly obvious. It is a tough prayaschitam. Therefore, prayaschitam na pasyami is not easily available. That's how you should interpret, not saying it is not available. It is not easily accessible. And hence you find appropriate prayaschitam and do that prayaschitam. Then you have to go to scholars, panditas, and try to find out what could be the appropriate prayaschita for such a upapadakam. And then it is an upapadakam bordering mahapadakam. It may be very close to mahapadakam, but still it comes under the upapadakam category only. Therefore, Atri Vakyam is also reconciled according to Siddhanti. So because in the classification, mahapadakam is a big category given in the Upanishad. So if you want to tie it into that, then that will be violation. So here it is, you cannot violate Shruti Vakyams. So it is a upapadakam, all right, but it is not an ordinary upapadakam. It is a big upapadakam for which prayaschitam is available, and panditas can suggest such prayaschitas. With this, the 42nd sutra and the 11th adhikaranam is also over. So it is upapadakam, prayaschitam is available, that should be diligently followed. And we should also find out in what way this is included in our discussion. Because for everything, you know, I already told you of so many things in the Sangati and all that thing in the beginning. We should find out its contextual existence here. So ashrama karmas, they also contribute to what? Jnana utpatti. That is said in the 8th adhikaran, we already saw. So the entire karma yoga is based on that adhikaranam only. I mentioned it at that time. Entire karma yoga, Bhagavad Gita, is based on that adhikaranam, 8th adhikaranam. So pradhana ashrama we keep in mind is what? Grahastha ashrama. For that thing, jnana utpatti also. 8th adhikaranam, all the karmas enjoined there also have all to be followed. And the pradhana ashrama we keep in mind is not brahmacharya ashrama, but grahastha ashrama. Brahmacharya ashrama is only a gateway to enter into grahastha ashrama. And in grahastha ashrama only, one has got qualifications, resources, infrastructure, money and all that for all Vaidik karmas. If a person has to do big yagas and all that thing, he needs all this. And in all other ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama, vanaprastha, sannyasa ashrama, in all the three available karmas, the karmas are minimal. In all the other ashramas, karmas are minimal. Only in grahastha ashrama karmas are plenty, and resources and all the other requirements are also available there. So brahmacharya ashrama is what? Is adhyayana pradhana, only study. And vanaprastha ashrama is upasana pradhana, doing lot of meditation than karma. Sannyasa ashrama is what? Vedantic enquiry pradhana, Vedanta vichara. That is most important. That is why all the three have got secluded life, because they want to dedicate, concentrate mostly on those things, not engaging in so many other karmas. Ashrama karma means what? It is a grahastha ashrama karma only. When we say ashrama karma, predominantly it is grahastha ashrama karma only. For all the others, there is ashrama karma, there is a fixed karma. For brahmachari, study one, like that. So everyone loves to enter grahastha ashrama karma, grahastha ashrama dharma, because they can do a lot of karmas and all that. Only the one who can enter grahastha ashrama karma, he is a upakurvana brahmachari. A person who can enter into grahastha ashrama, that person is upakurvana brahmachari. The naishtika brahmachari, he is not going to enter into grahastha ashrama at all. And all others cannot. So all others means vanasprasthi, all those things, grahastha ashrama, they can be with their wife, but they cannot do grahastha ashrama. Whatever is enjoined in them, they cannot do it fully, sannyasi and all. So from this adhikaranam, naishtika brahmachari is also excluded from the Mahapatakam. That is the intention of Vedavyasa. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam called Bahiradhikaranam. Bahihi tu ubayathapi smrtehe acharachya. 43rd sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 468th running Brahma Sutra. So the previous discussion, whatever we had, Brahmacharya, Virata Bhanga and all that thing, that is concluded here, that discussion. Now let us give a small introduction to this adhikarana with only one sutra. How should a spiritual seeker treat a person who has committed this upapadakam called Brahmacharya Virata Bhanga? How should a spiritual seeker treat a person who has committed this upapadakam called Brahmacharya Virata Bhanga? He is a sinner. What type of vyavahara he will fit is the discipline, is the question here. There is a discussion. And in this context, they produce two types of malam or ashuddhi, two types of impurities. And we don't talk of physical impurity, but of certain adrishta ashuddhi. That is impurity which will contaminate in this janma as long as body is alive. And another one is which will affect after the fall of the body also. So two types of ashuddhi. In this janma, it will affect as long as the body is alive. And another one which will affect after the fall of the body, when it travels after death. We already all travel and all after death. Generally, a prayaschitta is given for destroying both types of impurities or ashuddhis. But in the case of powerful papam, the prayaschitta is not capable of destroying both the ashuddhi, both type of impurities. It is capable of destroying only one of the two. And the question is, how do you know which can destroy both and which will destroy only one? Since the whole field is adrishtam, because it is adrishtam, you cannot see. It is difficult to know. Shastram alone talks about prayaschittam, and it alone tells us whether it destroys one or both ashuddhis. So coming to our specific case here, when brahmacharya vrata bhanga is done by one, a person, what will happen? And we said it is upapadakam only. Now our question is what? Will the prayaschittam destroy both the ashuddhis, impurities, both the impurities of this person? And Vyasacharya say no. It is serious upapadakam, and therefore it is capable of destroying the ashuddhi of this life alone. Because it is, we already categorized it as a serious upapadakam. It is not mahapadakam, all right. But it's a serious upapadakam. So it will destroy only the impurity in this life alone. And he continues to be an ashuddha purushaha only after death. Whether he is tainted or not, Vyasacharya says such persons are tainted for lifelong, and such persons are not fit for transaction. They should be kept outside the society. So it's a serious upadakam. It is capable of destroying the ashuddhi of this life only if the prayaschittam is not done. Association with them will affect the one psychologically, that is said. Vedic society talks of contagious things also. The very thought of untouchability and all is misunderstood these days. If you are in one direction of life, better you choose one, the proper direction. Every Vaidika is asked not to have companionship with a Nastika. Such person will not be included in the list of companionships. I mean, untouchability is such things. Intimate companionship with them may be avoided with those people who have committed such a upapadakam. So suppose they have committed an upapadakam and they have done prayaschittam, then you can mix with them. And in some cases, you may forgive and include them. And in some other cases, you may forgive but should not mix with them. Both can be possible. So Vedic society has had the norm of who is Samskrita Purusha and who is Asamskrita Purusha and all that. And who should be interacted with and who should not be interacted with, should be avoided. It was based on this and all those things based on this dharma only, and no caste or creed is included in this. Keep safe distance with such people who have done upapada. This is the essence of this sutra, and the pramanam for this is smriti as quoted from this thing. So avakirnina, one who has violated brahmacharya vratam, or one who has formally married, and all those people. So Shuddhanamapi, even if he has committed upapadakam, even if he has become Shuddham, his prayaschitta will save him after death only and not during this lifetime. These are all some various quotations he gives. We will see some details also when we see some more of the sutra in the next class. Because he has used the physical body to violate, so the papam cannot be forgiven. This person is Bahishkarya. So even after purification, he cannot come back to the normal, regular society or regular vyavahara with other people. That is how the concept of excommunication and all those things came those days. So in the village, for all social functions, they won't invite such people. Therefore, brahmacharya vratam is very important for all three ashramis. Now we will do the general asti sutra in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah krishnartham purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti shanti shantihi shri gurubhyo namaha harihi om shri krishnartham.